Hey, welcome to Getting Work to Work, a weekly podcast for creative professionals and entrepreneurs looking to grow by learning new things, getting inspired, and breaking down the barriers that prevent them from doing the work they were born to do. I'm Chris Martin, and you're listening to Episode 60, Interview with Jamie Viel. This episode is being recorded in front of a live studio audience in the digital news class at Clark College in Vancouver, Washington. That was very enthusiastic. Jamie is a student studying to be a reporter, and in this episode, we talk about the issues that have driven her to be a reporter, from her early days of watching documentaries on Vice and skipping class to go learn about life from the source of bums and other people that really intrigued her about the life that they were living. Show notes for this episode are available at gwtw.co/60. Are you looking for more tips on how to get your work to work? Sign up for the Curiosity Lab, my weekly email newsletter at thecuriositylab.net or at the bottom of each show's page. Every newsletter is hand-delivered straight to your inbox on Mondays and brings stories and inspiration designed to spark your creativity and curiosity. All right, whew, you ready for this interview with Jamie? Take it away, interviewer Chris. So, Jamie, welcome to Getting Work to Work. Why don't you start by introducing yourself and what you do?
Okay, my name is Jamie Viel. I'm a restaurant manager, student journalist, and actress trying to represent the Native culture.
Why did you choose to study and pursue a career in journalism?
Because I'm really addicted to Viceland TV and a lot of those stories that they tell. I feel like I know other people's stories out in the world just from my experiences, and I feel like I could get stories out there too.
Was there a particular story that you saw on Vice that really led you to being in love with journalism as an option?
Well, the first stories that I actually watched were probably about 8 years ago, and it was about the toilet crisis in another country, and I thought it was kind of gross to watch, but it was actually really cool just to watch somebody actually taking the time and filming something like that we know nothing about, and none of that stuff has been documented. And I feel like there's other things that go undocumented in little tiny villages just all over the place.
So is that identification with undocumented stories, is that what led you to want to tell stories about the homeless issue in Vancouver and Portland?
Yeah, because I know a lot of things are portrayed not really truthfully, especially in Vancouver. And I know a lot about things just from friends I've had in the past and issues I've seen them go through. And I've really seen their struggles about how they can't really get out of the system once you get in. And I feel like when you look up a shelter online, you see all this happiness and food pictures, but in reality, it's not always like that. There's a lot of mentally ill people and things that go on that we don't know about.
One of the things that, in looking at your website, that really struck me as powerful was that you actually go to these homeless camps. You go to where people are living. And how do you overcome, I think, the fear that many people would have in going into those situations?
I don't really have a fear for some reason, because I used to skip school when I was in junior high and go hang out basically kind of around some bums because I was curious, and they were actually really cool, you know, and they would do funny things like dance and stuff, you know, and I never really was scared. I mean, there's certain parts I won't go, there's parts in Portland where they have pimps and drug dealers. I kind of go to where I know it's an open area too. And as far as talking to them, you kind of have an idea who to approach and if I do approach somebody, I don't just walk up and get in their face. I kind of, like the last person I interviewed, I started petting his dog, you know, just kind of, and then started talking to him. And then he was all ready to give me a story by the end.
How did you learn to see the person and not the issue?
I know some people get problems and they can't pull out of it, but I fortunately can. But I could see how they couldn't pull out of something, but I'm just a stronger individual when it comes to that.
So you mentioned petting, you know, a person's dog and that mm-hmm. opened them up. What other things have you done to, I guess, get people to open up in a way that tells their authentic story and not the stereotypical story?
I'm not just there, like, I guess, doing business. I kind of hang out with them, you know, and they see my curiosity and they see that I'm not judgmental and that I live a very free life. And for some reason, that just opens them up. I'm not just in and out. I'm there for a good 4 or 5 hours sometimes.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow. What is it about the issue of homelessness that drives you to want to tell that story? You mentioned that you would skip class and go talk to bums. But why, I mean, most people would probably not think to go hang out with bums and homeless people. What is it about the issue that drove you there instead of going to class?
Because I, honestly, I kind of turned into a little bit of a bad girl and just wanted to go out there, and that was kind of the only place we could hide. And then you start realizing that a lot of these people, everybody has a different story. Like, you know, one guy that I've talked to before, he used to have like $500,000 house, he says, but divorce, the wife taking everything, he pretty much got so stuck in a rut that he can't pull out of it. And so now he sleeps in a tent, you know. But everybody at one point, you know, could have been this or could have been that. And I think that people don't realize that. They just think, you know, they're just homeless because they're lazy. But sometimes I, you know, there is a story behind everybody.
As a student reporter, how does the label student affect your ability to pursue or even tell a story?
It actually affects it very positively because people want to see someone else make it too. A lot of people that I talk to, like on my photo essay of Heather, she kind of wasn't super comfortable at first, but then once we talked about it, I think it was more good practice for both of us too, because she's been wanting to get her story out there. And it kind of made her, I think, wonder, well, this will kind of be my chance. Do I really want to do this or not? And she kind of knows it won't be, like, published in the paper. So it kind of gives both sides the practice and decide what they want to do or if they just want to keep private. Mm-hmm. But, you know, it actually affects it in a positive way.
I always like to tell students that own the label student while you can, because oftentimes more people are willing to open up, whether it's, you know, in journalism or the creative arts or anything like that. You know, they're more willing to share with students because they're, I don't know if it's that, oh, they're not going to treat me wrong or they're not going to, you know, steal from me, you know. And I think the more that you can own that label, I think when you make that transition from being no longer a student, in the, you know, school sense, mm-hmm. And being, you know, a professional, I think you have those skills, you know, to make it, as long as you, I think you really have to own that label, though, student. So journalism, much like the creative arts, is a path or pursuit that is currently being massively disrupted by technology, mm-hmm. competition, and innovation. How do you stay positive on your and focused on your growth as a reporter?
I feel like stories always need to be out there, even if, like, to me, I think it doesn't really bother me that much because I know the papers are gonna going away. But I really think the visual with the documentaries is where it's going, and I think people will always want to see that kind of stuff. I don't think that's gonna go away. And that would be, you know, my next step too, is like, well, I gotta at least no more paper, get to that level, you know what I mean? And focus on moving up instead of, you know, oh, you know, I can't write for the paper or something, you know.
Yeah. What do you want to be known for?
Role model. Trying to be a better role model.
How so?
Just by the language I use sometimes and my attitude and growing up more, you know.
Talk about growing up more. What do you mean by that?
Sometimes I still... you know, like somebody made fun of my friend because she's heavy, these younger girls in the mall, and I approached him, and, you know, I was ready just to get really mad, and then I'm like, that's dumb, you know, you could go to jail, duh, you know, so back off and just learn to learn that they're the immature ones, you know, but all I could think about was my friends getting made fun of, you know what I mean? They don't know her.
Right. When I think that maturity level speaks to how you can use that passion to fuel your career as well, because I think a lot of the stories that it sounds like you're driven by, you have almost a personal connection with.
Mm-hmm.
So what do you believe about what you do that may be different from other people?
I feel like I am telling the truth and telling stories that people don't want to hear. I mean, some people might not want to hear it. Like the workers of corrections, the workers of the share house might not want me to say what I'm saying, you know, but it's actually the truth. You know, like the last interview I just posted last night, as I was writing it, I'm like, you know, I could just tell about this guy and tell his story. But I decided to kind of go into more of exposing the share house and exposing the corrections unit, because that actually is why a lot of people are homeless, is the system. And a lot of people don't normal, like, the, you know, outside society doesn't really see it like that. They just look at it as, oh, well, they mess up and they're not following their rules, you know. And it's not always that easy to follow, to be under someone's rules like that, you know.
So moving forward, are you going to try to find the traditional route in terms of a career, or are you going to blaze your own path and start your own things?
I'm probably going to blaze my own path and start my own things.
Like what?
Well, I'm in a film, and it's actually filming this Saturday, and I'm really trying to get ready for that, and I really want to represent the Native culture. That's my ultimate goal, because a lot of Natives, there's not a lot of Native actresses out there. And I feel like especially on my reservation, it's very poor. I feel like it's just kind of overlooked. I mean, there wasn't even a voting booth to vote, you know, yeah. And on the reservation for them. And almost like they're just kind of thrown in the trash. And if I could represent, you know, my reservation and my tribe, that would show, hey, we're not all like that. You know, there's some people who have a chance and can make it. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Since you mentioned the reservation, how did you break free of a lot of the issues that keep people in those reservations and in those patterns of behavior?
Well, I got lucky because my parents are both from the Blackfeet Reservation, and they moved here and then had me. So I actually never grew up on the reservation.
Okay.
But I've been told by all my cousins and everything that you never even met me. They met me like when I was 16. They said, you are just like everybody else over there, like your personality, everything. I said, I didn't even grow up there though. Mm. And they said, but you're still the same. Like, you could tell that you have that, you know, that same blood. And I've been blessed, and I feel like I need to use that.
It's cool to recognize the areas that you come from, even though you technically, you know, didn't come from there. You were born somewhere else.
Yeah.
But it's neat to see how your blood and your culture is defining, you know, what you're doing in a sense, and that's really cool.
Well, and I did, I mean, we're actually, even though we lived over here, I did visit every year. We danced in powwows, I danced in all sorts of crazy things, so it does feel like I was there, but I wasn't, if that makes sense. Like, it wasn't like I was just here and never knew anything about them. It actually, it's, I kind of stopped being involved in that kind of stuff when I was probably about junior high. That kind of stuff went away. But as a kid, I did feel like I was raised, you know, in my culture.
Final question. Thank you so much for being a part of this. I know it's probably not easy to dive into being questioned first thing in the morning. but what are you excited about right now?
Exercising.
Okay. How so? How does exercise affect the work that you do?
Well, I have to, I jog on the waterfront. Well, I'm trying to jog the whole way, but that clears my mind and keeps me really going, so that otherwise I feel like I kind of just, you know, just want to lay down and just die sometimes when you're so overwhelmed with school, work. But when you kind of run and sweat it out, that kind of makes everything better. And some people think it makes you more tired, but it actually does the opposite. It kind of makes me skyrocket off.
Well, Jamie, thank you so much for being a guest on Getting Work to Work. I have thoroughly enjoyed this conversation, and I wish you all the success in the future.
Thank you.
That does it for this episode of Getting Work to Work. Thank you to Jamie, Gosha, and the entire digital news class at Clark College for having me present on Producing Podcast. It's been a blast. And thank you for taking the time to listen to Getting Work to Work. It means a lot to me that you're here. Would you be willing to share this podcast with your friends and other creative professionals and entrepreneurs? Subscribe on iTunes and Android devices by clicking the subscription links found at gwtw.co. Keep in touch by sending me an email. I'm chris@chrismartinstudios.com, or you can find me on most social networks. I'm at CM Studios or at GWTW Podcast on Twitter, at Chris Martin Studios on Facebook, and at CM Studios on Instagram. As you take time this week learning how to learn, take it from a student's perspective and remember exactly why you are doing what you're doing. There is so much freedom in remembering what it is that prompted you and drove you to want to do what you're doing. Until next time, may creativity and curiosity fuel your life.